Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. It is your boy Davey in your company all the way until 6 p.m. this afternoon. Now, we kick things off with our interview. This gentleman is no stranger to the music scene. This man is known as Sheldon Blackman, a singer-songwriter from the Caribbean Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago. That's right. He is also known for his delightful Caribbean songs as he graces the stage to perform deep, thought-provoking, uplifting, and irresistibly danceable songs. You know, you can't help but to sing along to some of his songs. Sheldon was born into the musical royal family of Trinidad and Tobago. His father, Garfield Blackman, Ras Shorty I, a.k.a. Lord Shorty, created the now ever-popular musical style of soca music and founded the family band, The Love Circle. After his father passed in 2000, Sheldon led The Love Circle for 3 years, after which he started his own solo career and now has a catalog of 7 studio albums, the latest being Grow Your Food, Mind and Love, released in October 2020-2021. Sheldon has performed extensively throughout the world and has lived between Trinidad and Tobago and Norway for the past 12 years. Sheldon Blackman, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. How are you doing? How is it going? Happy Independence Day.
Hey, bad night, and I'm not so happy, you know, boy, about independence for me, you know. I grousing real bad.
I hear you.
IRL growl. What we celebrating, eh? What we happy about? Murders running away, things happening, you understand? I was speaking to Pedro Lazama, who is another musical icon coming out from the police band, and he talk about, you know, how degrading some of the musics are in the country today, you know? And now we are transitioning on to you, the son of Ras Shorty I. Tell me first and foremost about that experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's a privilege and an honor to have grown up in his company and having that whole experience that I had growing up.
You know, dad wasn't easy.
One of them was literally performing in every corner of Trinidad and Tobago. Every corner. What I tell you, he had a policy of let your conscience be your guide, you know, like just I come in, just pay for my transport and I bring in my family, whatever you can give me. I taken it and just come in and share love. And that had allowed us to perform in every corner. When I tell you every corner, talking about every little village, every little bazaar, every little, you know, community center, having a little Thanksgiving. I mean, everything.
You know, it's
that's a foundation I just have to give thanks for, you know?
I mean, I am happy to hear you say that that's where Ras Shorty I was. And it begs to differ. Some people might say, Ras Shorty I, come in and perform, give me what you could, I go help you out, I support in you. And they would argue and say, here's what's happening. You know how much money I have to spend to go into the studio to record my song? Not to mention, if I, as a not too known artist, trying to get some studio time, and a big one like Marshall call and say, hey, I want to use you as a producer, come in to perform this song. I have heard artists say that they would be bumped out for the bigger ones, you know. So so I mean, I don't know. Dad doing it,
well,
you transitioning.
Depends on what your goals and your objectives are. I mean, you remember he was there. He was Lord Shorty in demand, ain't coming to perform nowhere unless you pay him up front. All of that was Lord Shorty. You know, he made a conscious decision that he was changing his life and that he changed the music that he was doing, and he had a message to send, and nobody was paying him to come and bring that message, right? So in order for that message to get through, he just said, I'm coming, right? So it really depends on your objective. I mean, it has its pros and its cons, and it has its, you know, like everything else, but that's what he did. I'm not saying that that's what I do. I'm saying that that's what he did, and it has allowed him to create a legacy, a landmark, and allow me to have an experience that no other, you know, few people can say they had.
Indeed.
And I'm thankful for that.
And grateful so. Let me transition in as you're talking about Ras Shorty I here. You would have known your father after he converted to Christianity and changed his sobriquet to Ras Shorty I from Lord Shorty. What was that experience like? Because as you just mentioned, he was one in demand popular Lord Shorty, and then he converted into Christianity with a message to send. So his style of music would have changed, his dress code, his mannerism, his everything musically changed. What was that experience like?
Yes. That transition was a very up and down transition, right? He didn't have any clear, he was just finding his way, right? So within that journey, he made some mistakes and it was bumpy and it was all, you know, he was an artist, right? He was a real eccentric artist and individual. And therefore, it had its times people literally questioned whether he was sane, you know?
Well, indeed so, eh? I because he moved the family into the bush, everybody going up there to catch a conscious, as they say, you know. I remember growing up, and then when I got into the world of media and all these kind of things, you know, they would say, Rash Shorty, all the elevator ain't going all the way upstairs. But dad was dad, right?
Some things he got right, right? And so you had to take the good with the bad in some way, you know?
Well, right. And with one of his iconic pieces was Watch Out My Children. I remember it vividly. It's a song sung by not just the entire Love Circle with you guys, but also children today. Yeah. When that music is playing, primary school children will sing that song. And that brings me to my next question. Did Rash Shorty I share stories when he sits down with the family, you, Isaac, the entire team, and everybody sit down? Did he share stories of his past life as Lord Shorty, helping you all understand the transition into Christianity and what morphed into what he became?
Yes, he did. But he shared that mostly from the perspective of kind of warning us, you know, of the pitfalls that he thought that life that he lived had. And therefore, we tried to encourage us to live, as he called it, the new man, the new consciousness that he had and so on. So yeah, there was that conversation.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You know? But I mean, coming back to the independence, you know, I always say that we have come a long way. I mean, 60 years is a time to, but I also say that in Trinidad and Tobago, we have a history of human presence on the island for 8,000 years.
Mm.
You know, slavery and colonialism was only 500 years, you know? So think about 8,000 years of human activities on this island, these islands, and 500 years of colonialism and slavery, and then now 60 years of independence from that. And we still have a long way to go from that, the legacy and the scars that 500 years of colonialism and slavery brought, right? But I really think that this is a time for us to look inward and try to carve the path forward for ourselves, how we want to see Trinidad and Tobago today and tomorrow. And one of the songs that I wrote some years ago, you know, it says just basically that we should show your colors. You know, it says, red, white, and black, show them colors, unite, be stronger together forever. Trinidad and Tobago, red, white, and black, show your colors, unite. You know, I hope we get a chance to play that song, because I really feel like it tells my sentiment about the state of where we are and what we want to create, you know?
Well, at the end of our interview, when I go into my next hour, I most definitely will feature some of those music, as I am using this opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about the turning point. When did you recognize as an individual? Now, first and foremost, what was the turning point in his life that caused him to make a major change? Your dad, that is. And how did that influence you as an artist today?
Well, I was born in 1978, which is literally the time of his transition. That's the time, you know, when he wrote Om Shanti and Who God Bless and all those songs. And after that, it was Jammu, you know, from 80, 81. And then, you know, continuing as he changed his name in 1980 to Rash Shorty I. And, you know, I mean, start the family band that same year, 78, 79, you know. Started Love Circle at that point. So for me, all my consciousness in terms of knowing my father is as Rash Shorty. You know, I have no conscious recollection of Lord Shorty. And that was different, for example, OC and Abby and Haley and my older brothers and sisters and so on, because they knew this person of Lord Shorty, and all of a sudden the whole change happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that experience. I just had the experience of Rash Shorty.
All right. So you would have been told these stories, or did you have an opportunity to see some videos?
Yes, exactly. So I would have been told the story, because that was unfolding just as I was born.
Indeed so. Well, one of the other things I want to ask you this afternoon is, after his passing, all right, there were many accolades presented to your family in honor of your father. What do you think would have been his response to such attention?
Judging from his response when he was alive, you know.
Especially in the latter years. Well, his later years.
I mean, he was offered the hummingbird while he was alive, and he turned it down because he said that's not going to put food on his table, you know. which, in my view, you know, he felt like, you know, if you're just coming to give me a medal, for him, he thought that that was not an appropriate recognition for his work. And I needed more than just a medal, you know. I would have chosen differently, you know, but that was his approach.
Well, what would you have chosen?
But he also, having said that, after that experience, he then accepted an award for his contribution to soca and so on. And so, you know, I would say perhaps based on the last set of experience, he would have accepted them and be thankful.
All right.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Just about 35 minutes after the hour of 3 o'clock. Once again, welcome back. If you're just joining us, welcome to The Overdrive here on Independence Day. It's a beautiful day outside when I came in studios a few hours ago, and I hope the weather is still good. Sheldon, wherever you are, I hope you are enjoying the fine weather as well. We are speaking with Sheldon Blackman, son of the late Ra Short Yai, and he's sharing his experience with his dad, and of course, we're going to delve a bit into his life as well. So, Sheldon, welcome back to the program. In your opinion, do you appreciate what soca has developed into? Now, we're saying that, what soca has developed into. But given the fact that your dad pioneered this, your dad created a whole new genre of music, and soca was birthed based on our history on Lord Shorty. So, tell me, in your opinion, how do you appreciate what it was then to what it is now?
You know, I think that things can't remain the same. They always change, you know? So I think that soca, from its inception, in terms of the quality of music and arrangement and so on, it was up there, right? I mean, I think there are some absolutely fantastic songs that has been produced in the last years, right? As soca songs and and really, really great stuff. But that is in the minority, if I may say so, you know? It's not the majority, you know? We have at least 2,000 songs that are produced every year for Carnival and so on. And that is one of the things that my father was trying to fight for, that Calypso and that soca be beyond Carnival, that it is focused outside of just festival and creative, but it still get locked into that, you know?
Indeed.
It still get locked into the Carnival cycle, which was one of the things that really, you know, he had so many songs about saying, you know, why should Calypso be a seasonal thing for me? First you must love you, then if you do, others would love you too. That, I mean, that's one song. He have tons of songs, tons and tons of songs talking about that topic, about why we playing our music only for Carnival, and, you know, like, why are we locking ourselves in? That's one of the things I think that, and then because when it's locked into a festival and a festivity, then the music becomes only about the road and about Carnival and jumping up, and less about life, about living and a living experience of life, right? And that's what he tried to, you know, kind of take the direction with Jammu, you know?
I understand.
So in my thoughts, I think that there are some really, really great soca out there. And for the most part, there are a lot that is substandard, and we need to keep the standard up.
Indeed so. You know? Indeed so. Anybody wishing to get involved in our conversation at 627-3223 and 625-2257 can do so. Or as one texter just messaged me on 306-1065, could you ask Sheldon Blackman if Nyla is part of his family?
Somebody asked if Nyla is part of your family.
Nyla Blackman, if Nyla Blackman is part of your family.
Nyla Blackman is my niece. This is the daughter of Abby.
Indeed.
Abby Blackman, which is the first daughter of Garfield Blackman and Claudette Blackman.
Nice.
So yes, Nyla is my family.
All right. So that is cleared up. Nyla Blackman is part of the Rashorty I inner circle, or love circle as it were. All right. Nyla just returned.
No, she's not part of the love circle. She's part of the Blackman family, yes.
Right. That's it. The Blackman family. Not the love circle, but the Blackman family. But
yes.
Nyla just returned from England, from Notting Hill's Carnival. I think it was this morning. She just came back and stuff.
Yes.
She was out there representing the red, white, and black. Now, as we talk about Nyla representing the red, white, and black, let's get back to you. You have represented Trinidad and Tobago musically in various parts of the world. Now, you talk about the remote parts of Trinidad and Tobago performing with that. But mainly in Norway, how has it been to, you know, represent us soca, the type of music we sing in Trinidad and Tobago, to take it internationally? And what was the response? How was the international response to our music when you are out there performing?
The response that I get, I think I got a favorable response. You know, people dance and love the music, and they're like, oh, you know, what is this? They literally ask, what is this? What kind of music? So it shows that we have some work to do, right?
Wow.
to reach as a brand, you know. But it's getting there. It's getting there. More and more people know what soca music is. And for me, the Caribbean is such a place of wealth when it comes to music and culture, that we have really have an impact across the world. And Trinidad music, you know, in the 40s and 50s did that with calypso. And I think that soca is beginning to, you know, peak interest across the world. You know,
indeed,
more and more I hear in the songs playing in clubs and in, you know, spaces and so on. I'm there and then say, oh, wow. You know, that's playing great. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's playing among the other songs. You know?
Yeah. I could imagine, indeed. So somebody now messaged on the text board and says, my favorite is Jammu music, which Rashorty I also invented. So another one says,
Jammu is the gospel of soca, and it has its own identity, and it has a focus of spirituality and about, you know, the gospel. And that's the last, you know, phase of his life as Rashorty I, is what he stood for and what he projected to the world, you know. And I share in that, you know, I share in that consciousness in the music and trying to impact, share that, you know.
Well, I have a twofold question here for you that I want to find out from you. One is how many of your siblings still perform, all right? And how often do you all come together, you know, to commemorate and celebrate your father's memory, and how do you do it? So you come together to celebrate, if at all, in what sphere? Is it that you all do something public? How do you all do it, and how many of you all are still performing?
Well, I mean, almost all of us are still performing in some capacity. I mean, most of us. I mean, even if it's not full-time, you know, in some cases, it might still be part-time, you know, but every single one of us are still active musically. And we had the opportunity to come together, like Friendship Festival in 2019. That was one of those rare occasions when we had almost, I mean, like so many of us. My brother OC came down from California, and Hailey from upstream. And, you know, like Paul Abbey was there, my other brother Johnny and
Isaac
and the whole, you know, the whole, and that event, Nyla performed as well, and Marge, and, you know, it was like we had a whole Blackman Legacy segment that was really spectacular. The last time we had in 2020, which was 20 years since my father died, we had a beautiful, beautiful celebration on the Blackman Ranch in Piparo. You know, that was a spectacular.
I can just imagine.
We had the remembrance concert and paid tribute to him and so on. And it was such a moment, because it was just with just a small break in the whole pandemic kind of thing. There was a little kind of opening there. I mean, that was in July, the 12th of July, 2020. I mean, you managed to have this event. Oh, wow. It was, you know, it was such a blessing to pull it off and, you know, and to do it, you know. So that was the last big event that we had in terms of the family coming together and really
celebrating and performing together.
Commemorating his work and his legacy and so on, right? But recently, I wasn't there in Trinidad for that, but they had a street in San Fernando named after my father.
Mm-hmm.
And a great amount of the family members were there to witness that. And we really, you know, after 22 years, now have a street in San Fernando named after him.
Yeah.
It's just... You know,
I know. Thanks. We give thanks nonetheless.
Long overdue,
but be thankful nonetheless. Some people saying that, you know, Jamu music, which they're now favoring, which is a spiritual side to the soca music, to what your dad introduced and invented. Do you agree with the direction of some of your siblings in the way they decide to take their music?
It's for me personally, it's not for me to disagree, or everybody have their own journey and their own path, right? And people, that has to be worked out for themselves, you know? That's the way I see it, you know? I have my own journey and my own path, and at the end of the day, we will all arrive at whatever point we need to arrive at, you know? That's what is important for me. Once you keep the love, that's what's important, you know?
All right. Trinidad and Tobago is celebrating 60 years of independence. I mean, how do you feel being alive to experience this at such a time? I mean, I wasn't wrong when we gave it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say after 60 years, I would advocate and recommend and fight for that. I'm speaking to you actually, ironically, from Spain at the moment. I'm not in Norway. I'm actually in Spain at the moment.
You're in Spain at the moment.
I mean, at 60 years, I say we should change the name of the capital from Port of Spain. Let me call it Port of Soca now. Let me call it something else. Like,
interesting.
Why are we still, you know, why are we still
idolizing Spain? We still connecting to colonialism and that kind of thing. Interesting.
Yeah. So I wasn't, you know, after 60 years, the next 60 years, we can't go the next 60 years
calling it Port of Spain.
Still being called Port of Spain.
Because, you know,
that is just absolutely ridiculous to me.
Because we moved from St. Joseph.
We need to change that. We need to take down the statues of Columbus standing up there watching us like if he was some lord over, you know? Why are these unjust figures still standing up there like glorified in our space? You know, so there's a lot of mental slavery that we need to address. A lot of things that are just symbols and street names and that are still so tied to this negative colonial history that we need to
remove,
say bye-bye to.
And, yeah, know? We and respect
in,
it.
And in confronting that past, that history, and those unjust things, we would clear the path for new things to come forward, to create the space and the ideals, you know, with new ideals that we want to live up to, you know, and this, we need to get back to community, because community is where we can have that conversation and work out what we want the space to look like, what we want our future to look like, how we want to share these resources that we have in that, how we want to preserve things, how we want, you know. And I really think that, you know, looking forward, that's where we should be putting our focus for the next. Give thanks to the 60 years that, you know, brought some change, but we have so far to go, you know. Let's focus now on today and how we can make a brighter tomorrow.
You have just said something to me that I definitely have to share with my listeners again tomorrow, which is removing the capital city, the name as Port of Spain, and finding a different name. Because we did it once. People be like, somebody text me and say, but how could we Port of Spain? Everybody know that. I say, but everybody, in my opinion, knew St. Joseph as the capital at one time. And if St. Joseph was the capital at one time and it moved, we can definitely rename our city from Port of Spain to something else, you know?
Well, the question should be asked is, why would you want to keep your identity as, you know, like, it's like if you got divorced, right? You know?
Most women, when they get divorced, they just revert to their maiden name. I know some women get divorced, get rid of the husband name and get a new name.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that if you want to hold on to that, the name that you got from your husband, that's
good.
Do that.
Nothing wrong.
But if you choose to take on a new name or go back to your maiden name, well, our maiden name was Irie, wasn't it?
Yes.
So if you want to call it Port Irie Tong, or I don't know, Port or whatever,
I feel if you say Irie Tong, we go sound like Jamaica. Something Jamaica will do if we say Irie, you know, but something else.
report. I report.
I report. People go swear the touchdown in Norman Marley. I feel that's a good challenge. I go put that out there and give people a few days to marinate in it. Or they come up with a new name.
I say soca. Let's call it soca. Because soca, the name is rooted in bringing together the community, bringing together Trinidad and Tobago, the cultures of Trinidad and Tobago, because calypso and soca and East Indian and African, you know, and we have created this, you know, this is our creation. This is our projection of how we want to represent us, you know. So, what port of soca then? You know,
we might be better move away from the port factor because it is lodged where the port is.
Let's call it soca.
Something. Well, I challenge the brilliant minds in this country to come up with something that will be holistic and that we can all embrace.
But let's start that conversation. That's
right.
You know,
let me start it. Yeah. And I'm going to push this agenda because recently the Prime Minister, there were talks that our government tried to rename streets out there in Arapita Avenue, Woodbrook, all those areas. They tried to rename some of those streets because, you know, some of those street names were in cahoots with the
people like Picton.
That's right.
Which we need to change.
Colonialism and those type of people. So we're going to, the one to change that. Somebody says it was not like Irie was Kyrie. Pronounce Kayu.
So, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So I'm that's why I
yeah.
Forgive me if I messed up the name. But
you're entitled to read as well. We all make mistakes. I remember I was writing something the other day, I couldn't remember what the spell wasn't. For the life of me, I'm thinking, wait, wasn't how you spell this? I couldn't remember what the spell wasn't. Then I was driving last week Sunday in the Southland, traversing through, and I was on my ways, and I was trying to put in Erin. And I couldn't remember how to spell Erin. I'm like, wait. Nah, my brain went blank. I couldn't remember. So it happens to us. And it take a minute to remember it's E-R-I-N and put it in. I couldn't remember how to spell it, and it happens, you know. But I want to mind your business a little bit before I get into the conclusion of our conversation. Usually when a trainee leave Trinidad and Tobago and they're gone, what we just call overseas, or we go on abroad, we just touch down in either Canada, England, or most popular, the United States of America. You want to tell me how you end up in Spain?
No, I am not in Spain. I live in Norway, not Spain. I'm just visiting Spain at the moment.
Oh, you're just visiting. So how has it been living in Norway? I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking we just run up by Uncle Sam and make a lie. But for you to transition out of this island and go on in a different continent, you in Norway. You have a house, you live there, you work, you commute.
That's just the way how life worked out. I mean, I got invited to do host to kind of represent Trinidad and Tobago at a youth music conference. It was called Edutainment. This was in 1998. And that's when I got that call, as if I'd never even hear. I didn't even know where Norway was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And there I was. I went there, and then my relationship with Norway started from that experience, you know? And that was almost 24 years ago. Next year, I would make it 25.
Wow. You know? Somebody now asked me, what kind of money did I spend in Norway?
The kronas.
The kronas.
Coronas, yes.
Coronas.
Norwegian coronas.
All right. Yeah. So you made your life out there.
I was meant to be there. That's all I could say because that was nowhere in my plan.
I could imagine. Any plans of returning to this island? I mean, a lot of persons, after, you know, being out there for a number of years, they have a burning desire to return to their roots, the Trinidadian roots. And
by myself, that I left I still live in Trinidad. I still have a base there. I'm home. I am home all the time. I share myself half of the year in Europe and half in Trinidad. And I've been doing that for a long time now. Don't feel like I am...
like you're missing anything.
I'm there all the time. I'm connected, you know?
All right. So you carry our Trini dishes over there. You're eating your callaloo. I don't know if you're into meats, but I don't know. Huh? I'm just saying what some of the Texans are asking me here. You know, what is the menus like out there? Is Sheldon Blackmon married? Okay. Sheldon, you have an admirer.
I used to be married.
All right.
Not anymore.
All right. So in conclusion, as we move up to the 4 o'clock hour, what's the time like over where you are at this time? In Trinidad, we're approaching 4 p.m.
In Norway, we are putting 10 p.m.
Okay, so you're a few hours in front of us. All right,
yes,
nice.
1 hour. I mean, 6 hours ahead of
us. Yes. Yeah. All right. So the name of your nation building song. Can you share this with our listeners before you go?
The name of the song is "Show Your Colors," and I hope that you hear the message in that song and it bless you. And it basically shares the sentiment that how I feel about our home.
Well, I will be playing it.
I just want, before I leave, I just want to big up Caitlin and
of course,
Mrs. Bong. I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, of course, she messaged me right through while they're talking to you. I've been doing so many interviews today that when I came in, I had a little bit of car problems earlier on. It kind of stressed me out. You know, we in Trinidad, right? So I serviced my car recently and the fuel filter, I bought a new one. And for the life of me, for a few weeks now, every time I fill my tank and I drive and I smelling gas in the car. So this morning when I was leaving to come to work, I decided to check. And the car gave me a kind of funny job. I pull aside on the highway, hot boiling sun. And I look, my fuel filter leaking. Not from the line, but from the filter itself. It's the metal ones. And it's leaking fuel. So I had to take it out, get a mechanic, go change it. So I was a bit stressed out earlier today. So I went to make my coffee just before your interview. And she's messaging me, you know, Sheldon is there. So Miss Caitlin Storm is on the line with us. She's listening and she's totally enjoying this interview.
Give thanks.
But I want to say to you, Sheldon.
Let's celebrate 60 years and let's make the next 60 years 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times better. And we could start with renaming Port of Spain from
Let that conversation happen. That conversation must happen.
I lobby in for that.
Well, Sheldon, I want to say to you, I would be engaging with Caitlin to make sure we can keep up with what's happening out there in the European part of the world where you are located and what you would be doing in the future. Your song will most definitely be featured on our program this afternoon. I couldn't play at the same time.
My latest album is called Grow Your Food, Mind and Love. And I want to stress to Trinidad and Tobago and the world. Mm-hmm. This is a serious time we're living in right now. And we need to grow your food, your mind, and your love. Blessings.
Take care, Sheldon.
Yeah, man.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.